exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Hi, everybody. I'm in Detroit today for the North American International Auto Show. And I've been walking around a little bit, taking in a few of the unveilings. But I thought I'd start out today by talking a little bit about the importance of design with Alfonso Albaiza. And he is the executive design director over at Infiniti. Now, Infiniti, if you've noticed, has some beautiful designs. And Alfonso is the guy responsible for these things. Alfonso, I noticed there's two groups of people these days. There's the tech nerds and the people that love technology, and they could care less what the car looks like as long as it's got all the stuff they want in it, a technology box on wheels. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other side of people, we'll call them lunatic fringe car guys like myself, mm-hmm. who I am all about the design, and I could almost care less about technology for a few minutes, mm-hmm. right? Because my first thing is I'm emotionally in that car. I want to go through the gears. I want to see how much power it has. I want to experience the seat of the pants feel. I'm also attracted, of course, to the design, so I'm going to walk to the car that speaks to me with the design. But then after a little while, of course, I start to go, hey, where's Apple CarPlay or you know, whatever, since I have an Apple phone. But I do love design. I mean, I do love technology, but I think I'm first attracted to design. How is Infiniti looking at the importance of design versus technology? I mean, which one is most important to you guys right now? Or is there a most important? Or are they both 50-50?
It's probably, first of all, thank you for coming and recognizing that design is a very big deal for Infiniti. And Roland Kruger is a huge supporter of design. He parks himself in our studio and enjoys himself. So we have focused a lot on this sense of design, carroceria, the body, which I happen to be in love with, this sense of the hand making an object. But as you mentioned, the reality is our customer, even those who are car lovers, that at a glance they fall in love with something, but then they have needs. So there are those who then, okay, I want my Apple CarPlay or I want this connectivity sense. But then there's also, and where the future is going, is that especially interiors, more and more with all the screens and all the graphics and all the connection to your life, that is going to dominate even the aesthetic. So it's not just technology. This technology has an aesthetic, and it's changing the way we think. And we think even as a brand that focuses on design, the sense of artistry, old school and new school is what's upfront for us.
That's interesting. You talk about the aesthetic. And when you say that, do you mean the user interface and their interaction with the machinery as it relates to it's easy to use, it's enjoyable to use, it's intuitive, right? As well as pleasing to look at. Because, again, that's also important. You get in the car, you're staring at that steering wheel and the dashboard right in front of you the whole time. So
believe me, in the future, not so far, not Buck Rogers, but really much closer, the amount of screens are going to increase. Mm. Even the heads-up, so the secondary-type screens
right.
where you're seeing the environment and you're seeing information, it's the expression of art. And it's people who are in love with their connection. They're in love with how they access the cloud and how it comes into their car. This will take on an artful expression, a design expression. And then more and more, as those screens increase, what kind of leather you used and stuff like that is less important. What kind of wood, who cares? Coca Cola, whatever, from Central America, not as important as the screen, the sharpness, the depth, the what do you see? What's the relationship between what you're seeing outside, the information of autonomous driving? All of this stuff is the new frontier, and we're on it.
Mm. The new frontier, technology, and the human machine connection, and the more the machine understands what the human wants, because you have such smart technologies, and how they get packaged in the car, but still keeping design at the forefront, so important. And I think Infiniti does a wonderful job of that. I mean, all the automakers are doing a great job, but some do just a better job. And I've noticed over a number of years that you guys make it really, really important, making sure that the car has some kind of, I don't know, it has a voice that speaks to you in some silent way, but into the mind's eye almost, you know? It's like, why do I connect with that car? Do you have a philosophy name for that? Is, you know, where does that come from?
That's a good question. I mean, I think it comes from the top, really. Mr. Gaon, and with the king of our world, loves design.
Yeah.
A man who's so curious about the creative process and the art of the automobile. And it infects all of us. We love cars and have engineers down the hall, thousands, who love the process. You know, the automobile, I've said before, I think humans, we have a thing about our feet. We hate our feet. We don't feel that our feet can take us anywhere.
Wait a minute, I have a foot fetish, and I was just looking at your feet.
That no, we dream of moving beyond our own physical sense.
Right.
So this mobility is not a science thing. It's the dream of movement, and the car is that. So we take it to this expression of art and the human being, the fingerprint of the artist in our car.
Let's take a break and come back and talk about your favorite vehicle here at Infiniti. Alfonso Albaiza, Executive Design Director at Infiniti. I'm Alan Taylor. It is The Drive. We'll be right back. On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance. Welcome back. I'm Alan Taylor. It is The Drive today in Detroit for the North American International Auto Show, our show brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of champions. I'm talking with Alfonso Albaiza. He is Executive Design Director at Infiniti. Alfonso, all right, I know I'm going to ask you about your children. Which one is your favorite? It's not fair. With kids, you can't do it. But with cars, you can. So is there one that kind of, you know, rises to the top for you in your design, you know, your stable for at Infiniti?
Yeah, I'll avoid the kid question because you know my kids might be listening. But of course, the Q60 is extremely dear to me. And
the newest vehicle line, it's a beautiful machine. I love it. I drove it, and I can't say I agree because I like all your cars, but I agree because I've driven that last, and I'm just in love with that machine.
Yeah, and probably partially because of that, it is the last thing that we put together. And also from a personal side, it's the designer is the designer of the original FX, which a decade and a half ago really changed my sense of what the potential of a car, the impact, and that at a glance was such a moving car. That when he started with the coupe, the same thing happened. Yeah. He created a gesture that was memorable, even though it's a two-door coupe. That's a fairly normal thing. But this sense of artistry, the fingerprint of the artist, and the sense of the engineers working the body panels, and this whole romance of design expressed powerfully. I love driving. I took it to Cuba. It was spectacular.
Oh, you went to Cuba with that? Yeah. Oh, you lucky, lucky man. Yeah. Well, I drove it through, I think it was Temecula and the wine country over there. And I have to say, too, it is beautiful on the outside, beautiful on the inside. I love sitting behind the steering wheel and just looking at the dash. Mm-hmm. To me, that's one of the most important things. The dash, I don't know, it's almost... It's the inner beauty of the machine. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's outward beauty of the outside of the car, and then the inside needs to also have that inner beauty. And then it has one more soul or spirit, which is the powertrain and the drivability. And the 400 horsepower when I drove was like, oh, my gosh, this thing is unbelievable. So for what you put together there, it really just checks all the boxes for me. And it's a beautiful machine. So I would suggest anybody get out and drive that machine. Talk about the big SUV, the Q80, is that what it is?
QX80,
thank you. Yeah. I drove in one this morning. Mm. And that's a difficult thing, by the way, to put, I guess, I don't know, that same spirit in a big, you know, big giant SUV. And once again, you accomplished it. Mm. And I was just sitting, I was in the passenger seat, by the way, very comfortable, and I was, and I'm one of those guys that I sit and I just observe what I'm looking at and the ease of, you know, human machine interface. There we go again, and how it is for me on the passenger side, where I'm not normally on the passenger side, and how it is for the driver. And it seems like it was skewed mostly to the driver, but I still had access to what I needed, and it was thoughtfully done. So even on the biggest of big SUVs, the QX80, you guys accomplished that. Was that difficult, by the way?
The big ones are difficult because how to manage so much surface and so much volumes of things to design. But they're also, in a sense, when you get the... Their presence is so strong, and even the interior. I think you probably drove the Limited, which was really nice. The open pore wood and the brown leather, and then as you mentioned, it's driver centric, but the passenger feels completely rewarded and entertained.
Yeah.
To be honest, because I've grown up in this country, in the United States, I was born in Miami, and this scale of car is aspirational.
Yeah.
So I love doing coupes, but these big cars are the icon of the country, and this is our flagship for Infiniti. It's a great car.
Beautiful. So as I'll take a break now, I was sitting there thinking, when this car goes off lease, my friend owns it, I think I'll buy this.
Yeah,
so just
great.
So you know, that's how I think, right? Yeah, it's like, I can afford it if I buy one coming off lease.
Yeah.
All right, Alfonso Albaiza, thank you. Executive Design Director for Infiniti. You do a great job.
Thank you very much.
All right, we'll take a little break from the North American International Auto Show. I'm Alan Taylor. It is The Drive.
It's time to streamline your tools with the Craftsman C3 19.2-volt cordless system. One C3 battery helps your tool work longer and powers over 30 different tools like the Craftsman C3 19.2-volt hammer drill. The compact hammer drill pushes out up to 515 inch-pounds of torque to handle even your toughest drilling and driving projects. A Jacobs metal ratcheting chuck and an LED work light makes this hammer drill durable and versatile. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears.com, Sears, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores.
Welcome back. I'm Alan Taylor. It is The Drive today at the North American International Auto Show. I'm here with BJ Colleen and now the Chief Operating Officer of Kia, Michael Sprague. I'm gonna throw it over to you, BJ, because I have not seen this vehicle. You got to see it last night. By the time this airs, the world will have seen it, but it's called the Kia Stinger.
Yeah, I'm sorry you missed it, Alan, because it really is a beautiful car. And Michael introduced it last night at the show to a bunch of oohs and ahs, and everybody fell in love with it. Because what's interesting is this is a complete departure from what Kia usually does, isn't it, Michael?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a bold statement from the brand. We believe that this is really going to be kind of that tipping point for people to really say, wow, this is a brand that we want to be a part of.
So why don't you tell them a little bit about what the Stinger vehicle is?
Sure. So first of all, it was designed in Frankfurt, and it was developed on the Nuremberg Ring. So it is a performance driving vehicle. Albert Biermann, who came over from BMW, has had his hands all over the driving dynamics of this vehicle. So it looks beautiful, and it's going to drive fantastically. And that's where, BJ, to your point, people are going to look at Kia differently. Because the last 10 years, we've been talking about how important design is to the brand, and the Soul and the Cadenza and the Sedona, the Forte, Optima, all of them. This takes the bar to the next level.
Well, it's interesting. Now, I have not seen it. And again, this is, I'll give people a timeline. This is Monday, the first day of the auto show. But last night, Sunday, they showed the world this vehicle, and the embargo was lifted, so you can Google it and see pictures of it. I have yet not seen it. So for the folks that are driving down the street in their car, describe what makes it so, like you say, bold and different from other cars that are coming out from any of the car companies, but especially Kia.
That's a great question. It exudes passion. It exudes desire. The lines of it are sporty and athletic. It's so unique.
Did you hear that noise in the background? It's like as he was talking, this noise came along. Of course, that was the people mover.
Yeah. Yep, right here
in Detroit.
But
when you say it, so two doors, four doors.
So four-door, rear-wheel drive, also going to be available in all-wheel drive. We call it a fastback sports sedan. So it's actually four doors with a rear hatch. So it's kind of a five-door, five-passenger. It's going to have all of the latest and greatest technology, of course. It's going to have all of the latest safety features, of course. And it's going to be backed, of course, by our 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. And according to J.D. Power, the brand that delivers the best in initial quality.
Don't forget that. Kia's on a winning streak. I mean, you guys
Knock on wood, BJ. Best sales.
I mean, just continues to grow. I don't know if it's ever going to stop. You know, we have our long-term Kia Sedona that we are madly in love with. And that vehicle was designed by Peter Schreier, who designed the Stinger also. And it was fun listening to him last night because he kept saying, this is the best thing I've ever designed. I love doing this. It's such an opportunity for me to have a chance to do something like this, especially for Kia.
Right.
And that's a big plus.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, for me, is the coolest thing? When we introduced the GT concept at Frankfurt in 2011, and now we're actually introducing the production model. It's so similar. I mean, usually when you introduce a concept, when the production comes, you're kind of looking at it like, okay, I see a little bit of the design cues. With this, it is true to what it was back in 2011, which was really well received.
The interview before you, we talked all about design and technology. Design being so important, and I know that Kia has done such a great job of bringing in some of the world's greatest designers. And some of them came from other auto companies, which is fine, because then people are familiar with their product and they go, oh yeah, I see a little of that in that car. Technology is really important. So you add the two, you know, what we used to call art and science, we'll call it art and technology at this point.
Right.
But so talk about a little bit of that part of it. We just came from the Consumer Electronics Show. And
right.
All of the packaging, the human-machine interface, the safety features. When you say, of course, it has this, of course, it has that. Give me some of the ones you're most proud of. I mean, does this car going to stop itself? What do they call emergency, you know, stopping and all that?
Autonomous emergency braking.
BJ has all the right names for it. But will it stop itself?
Yes. Yeah, it will have, to your point, autonomous emergency braking. It's got a really new, cool feature that it will tell you when maybe you've been driving too long and you need to take a break. And, you know, this day and age, if you're driving long journeys, and this car is meant to be driven on long journeys. I mean, it's a Gran Turismo, like from the touring vehicles from Europe, where, as our designer, Gregory Guillaume, communicated, he remembers growing up driving from Paris to the south of France in these Gran Turismos, and that's what inspired him to do this. But back to your technology question. Technology is coming so fast, so quickly. We are putting everything in that we can. And, of course, we'll continue to update the vehicle just like everybody else. But technology also allows us to do really cool things to the vehicle from a design standpoint. I mean, some of the angles that you can now create because of technology are amazing. And that's why we're seeing such beautiful products.
Now, real quickly, we don't have a lot of time left. But, you know, we talk about it as a performance sports sedan. Tell us a little bit, real briefly, about the performance.
Yeah, so two engines that I'm most excited about the...
Now, let me clarify. Whenever I hear that, I go, it's got two engines.
Available. Good point. Yes, exactly.
It's got two engens. This thing's
so
awesome.
Twin turbo, 3.3 liter. It's going to deliver 365 horsepower.
Wow,
it's
and rear-wheel drive?
Rear-wheel drive. Wow. And 5.1 seconds, 0 to 62 miles per hour.
Geez, that's like, remember when a 5 Series BMW M got that? We were all like, whoa, a sedan?
And it's coming from Kia.
Yeah, right. Well, and... here's the funny thing. I remember, of course, when Kia was just this little Korean car company that came to town. I'm like, oh, what is that? Today, you guys are like, you're making the bar go up higher and higher. J.D. Power recognizing you. I see right behind a 2016 Sportage, highest ranked small SUV in initial quality. Initial quality is so important, by the way, everybody. That is... J.D. Power is the voice of the consumer. When you buy a new car, they send you a little, you know, thing, and you fill it out. Oh, I loved it. You know, no problems. Send it back. So it literally is the voice of the person who bought the car. And you guys are ranking very high. Congratulations. Yep. I can't wait to go see it. You guys should go take a look at it. It's called the Kia Stinger. Now go Google it, since it's radio. I can't do anything else but that. Thank you, Michael.
All right.
Thank you. BJ and I will be right back with more here on The Drive.
The Dodge brothers weren't big on self-restraint, and thank goodness for that. Because when you're always pushing the limits, you engineer cars like the available 370-horsepower Dodge Charger with a TorqueFlite 8-speed automatic transmission. It's why Dodge is the only brand that grows as fast as it drives. One drive and you'll discover why Dodge is America's fastest-growing performance brand. Data is calculated using the latest available year-over-year retail vehicle registrations. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Welcome
Welcome back. I'm Alan Taylor. It is the drive all across America today in Detroit for the North American International Auto Show. Joining me right now is Kathy Beslick, and she is the marketing and advertising manager for Chevrolet for the electric vehicles, and they have just been awarded about 1,000 awards. I don't even know. It's like everything. You want everything. Maybe you could tell us some of the goodness that you've been receiving for this new Bolt EV.
All right. Well, thank you, Alan. Yeah. Well, today we won the North American Car of the Year.
No big deal. Just the biggest award of them all for the car industry. Yeah.
It's quite a big award. We're very proud moment.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you. You know, obviously, it's been a tremendous year. You know, we revealed the vehicle this time last year here at the auto show, and now this year I have a pleasure of saying the vehicle's in full launch mode.
Yeah.
And we've actually had our first sales last month in California, Oregon, and we'll just go up from here.
Awesome. Well, you know, I used to work for Motor Trend, okay. And I think Motor Trend gave you an award, too.
We did. We won Car of the Year for Motor Trend.
Right.
So it's been a phenomenal moment. We also won Green Car of the Year through Green Car Journal. So
like I said, you guys keep it. And I don't think this is the beginning of it. I think it's just going to keep going. You got a really nice little machine on your hands.
Yeah, we're very proud. And who would think that an all-electric vehicle could win Car of the Year? But it's just a true testament to the design and functionality of the vehicle. I mean, you know, you look at price and range. We hit on both marks on that. And then, obviously, the design, the performance, safety, innovative features. I mean, in cargo space, I mean, people think it's a small vehicle. Once you sit in it, it's quite spacious. So
yeah.
I think many people will be pleasantly surprised once you're behind the wheel.
So here we have a little confusion, perhaps. There is a Volt, V-O-L-T, and a Bolt, B-O-L-T.
That is correct.
And I think a lot of people may think, you know, well, they're talking about the same car, aren't they? Well, no. It's complete. One is an extended-range electric vehicle.
That is correct.
So it has an engine, an internal combustion engine as a generator, mm-hmm. but it's an electric vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, so the Bolt EV, B-O-L-T, B as in boy, B-O-L-T, like lightning bolt, is an all-electric vehicle, and it has the best range, I think, of all the electric vehicles right now, correct?
Oh, yeah, and you know, looking at range and price, I mean, we're definitely the first to hit those two major milestones there.
So 238 miles per charge.
That is correct,
right?
238 miles.
I imagine maybe the Tesla has one with a big battery that has more than that, but for the vehicle and the size and the price, you are definitely at the top of the range.
That is correct.
Yes.
Yep, we're the first to hit on both of those two marks.
Yeah.
And I think it, you know, just looking at the overall vehicle itself, it, you know, crossover proportions, great interior space, lots of safety and innovative features. I think, you know, a lot of people are starting to think, well, maybe an electric vehicle could be for me.
Yeah.
The average American drives 40 miles a day. So you're looking at Bolt EV, 238-mile range, it could be a vehicle for you. You can drive it for multiple days without having to charge it.
So talk about infrastructure. I think, you know, the range anxiety is the old word everybody's been saying, range, range, range. And I think that more and more companies are coming out with charging stations. I know that there's a bit of an infrastructure that your competitor put in place, but I think that as we continue on, I'm hearing all kinds of entrepreneur stories, you might say, of how can we make money on this, or how can we make it better for the consumers to be able to pull into, say, a McDonald's and go in there for 20 minutes and have a hamburger for lunch and almost or maybe fully charge my car while mm-hmm. I'm there. So talk about that story, the infrastructure.
Well, the infrastructure is growing. You know, most consumers do charge either at home or at work. So, you know, you definitely can charge at home and also upgrade to a level 2 charging station. We make it easy and offer an available solution through GM Accessories. You can also charge at work. A lot of work employers are beginning to install the infrastructure as well to ensure that their drivers are getting a full charge. But then we also offer a DC fast charge capability. So if you want to charge on the go publicly, you can certainly do so. It's a growing network out there. Definitely invest in an app or two. The My Chevrolet app, free app.
Tells you where the charging stations are.
Tells you where all the charging stations are.
Parking garages?
Parking garages. I mean, I've gone, you know, I've driven back, you know, to Lansing and back on a single charge on a Bolt EV. But, you know, but I'm able to easily find any charging station in the area. So I think it's just a matter of consumers educating themselves on how to find them. So, but we make it easy through the app.
Apps are so wonderful. And for those who, you know, haven't adopted the, you know, the smartphone technologies, mm-hmm. you're so missing out. You know what I mean? It's like,
it
doesn't seem like, oh, I've lived without it up to this point. And, you know, that's what I hear my dad say and my mom and a lot of my friends that just don't want to go that way. But once you realize guys, these are life aids. They make your life easier. They make your life better. Whether it's finding a parking spot or finding a charging station that has a parking spot, or I should say a parking spot that has a charging station. It's just amazing, from the food choices you have, finding fueling stations if you have a gasoline-powered car. But there's an app for everything these days, and it's nice to see that the automakers are embracing, you know, this app technology.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, we make it easy, and it's just information right at your fingertips. So, you know, someone who wants to drive a Bolt EV, they're going to be fully connected with their mobile device. So why not integrate that feature into the vehicle? So you can truly make it very easy. You can even by using your My Chevrolet app, you can see if the vehicle's fully charged. You can see if someone unplugged you. I mean, there's multiple things that you can see on the app. So it's really information at your fingertips.
How about, safety with this car? It's a little car. It's a nice little car. It's very cute. I must say that the style is very attractive. You know, I said cute, but attractive is perhaps a better word. But my wife bought a little, she wanted a little Fiat 500 because it was cute. She goes, I like my little car. It's cute as a bug's ear. And so, I mean, cute is important, but attractive is also important. So I look at the car and I say, I could drive that. You know, I wouldn't feel funny. I wouldn't feel like I'm trying to look a certain way or be a certain person. You know, there's design and style is so important these days, and they've kind of nailed it with this car. But what about technology and safety?
Well, there's a lot of great new technologies and safety features. So, you know, there are some Chevy firsts, the 10.2-inch screen. We also have
That's a big screen, right?
It's a very big it's a great user interface, easily maneuverable, simple to follow. I think many people will be pleasantly surprised with that.
Android Auto and CarPlay and all that?
Android Auto, Apple CarPlay compatible. So, you know, there is no navigation in the vehicle, but most people want to use their mobile devices anyway.
I think that's kind of, you know, if you've got a smartphone and you're buying that car probably because you already own a smartphone and you love the whole, you know, the fact that it's the human machine interface is like instantaneous, easy. You're familiar with it. That's why if you don't know what Apple CarPlay is and you have an Apple phone, boy, try that, because that's a life changer.
It's simply plug it in and you have everything at your fingertips. Right. And I think it's just a phenomenal integration, again, with your phone and your vehicle. Yeah. I think, you know, just making things hands-free and easy for you, I think is what it's all about.
So have you guys figured out what kind of, I don't know, how do you want to explain it, dollars per month for the person savings? Like, let's say I drive that 40 miles each way. Have you done some math on that? The equivalent, does owning an EV, an electric vehicle like this Chevy Bolt EV, does it almost make my car payment if I was driving, say, you know, a big clunker that got 12 miles to the gallon before savings?
Well, you know, with not only saving money, you actually save time too. So, you know, think about it this way. It's pennies to the dollar, and it's just like a dryer outlet. So when you install it.
She's talking about, in the garage. If you've got a washer and dryer, then you've got the same.
Simply plug it in, and you're good to go. So it's really not much more to your utility bill. I think many people will realize it's far less than spending gas.
Right.
So,
well, that's what I'm saying. It'll pay itself.
It pays for itself. So I think, you know, many consumers are kind of concerned. But honestly, I think from a time perspective, I mean, simply plug the vehicle at your house. That's your charge. That's your fueling station right there. You don't have to, no worries about going to a gas station anymore. Simply plug it in at night. By morning, it should be fully charged and ready to go.
Talk to the people you work for, whether it's a small business or a large business. They may give you a parking space.
Reserve parking.
Right. It's like reserve, right. And then you can plug in. So there's opportunities here, and I think this is great. And the car starts at under $30,000 with the tax deduction you're able to get.
Absolutely. It's a net value of under $30,000 after the full federal tax credit of up to $7,500. Yep. You know, I would strongly encourage everyone to check with their accountant first, but there's definitely a wonderful, simple, easy way to purchase and own an electric vehicle. I think many people, once they get behind the wheel, will be pleasantly surprised.
And the quick charging station charges the battery in how long?
The DC fast charging capability is up to 90 miles in 30 minutes. So you can simply look on your mobile device and locate a charging DC fast charging station, plug it in, go in for coffee, come back out, and you have 90 miles of charge.
There you go. So you're not stuck. Get rid of that range anxiety. Kathy Beslick, thank you. Thank you. Nice
thank
car.
You.
Congratulations.
Thank
car
you so
of the
much.
Year.
It's been a pleasure. Yeah, we're very proud. Thank
All
you.
All right. We'll take a little break. You're listening to The Drive. We'll be right back. Haynes, the worldwide leader in vehicle repair information for over 50 years, is now available in electronic format with Haynes Manuals Online. You get all the trusted content of the Haynes printed manuals, but with added features including over 750 color photographs, color wiring diagrams, and videos to help you do the job right. They're formatted for all electronic devices, and over 180 car, truck, and motorcycle titles are now available. The new Haynes Manuals Online are now available at Haynes.com. Joining us right now is Bill Chergosky. He is the project design manager for Calte Design Research and Toyota Design Network. And you guys have a concept vehicle. What is it called?
Called the Concept I.
Maybe you could talk about it a little bit because I just saw pictures on Facebook and I haven't been able to make it over to your booth. Talk about it.
Great. So Concept I is Toyota's, basically their our idea for 2030. It's a way to basically...
2030?
I know.
That's the first time I heard anybody say that. Oh, my God. I feel so old.
Okay, anyway, go ahead. That date is coming, yes.
It's like sad.
But it's basically meant to take artificial intelligence and automated or autonomous driving and our unique, basically, impression on how that's going to interact with people.
Yeah, it seems so weird, you know, how car design, and especially on the interior, starts to have buttons and knobs because you're talking to your car anymore, right? I mean, does this have like a talking feature?
This does. So,
as I thought it would.
Uniquely, there's a...
As you showed me a picture and I figured it probably did. No, anyway, go ahead.
Uniquely, the idea is that this vehicle is not filled with a million tablets and touchscreens. We call it the tyranny of the tablet. You know, everyone right now, we're all like married to our smartphones. And I think there's like an easy solution that you fill the car with those things.
Right.
But...
Well, because we're familiar with them right now, right?
But that's, you figure that's 2030, though.
Yeah.
If you're looking at it in today's terms, you know, the world is way more disruptive. Things are going to happen between now and then.
In 2030, people's fingers are going to be really short, and they'll have like little alligator arms, you know? Because
we'll evolve or devolve based
right.
on...
Anyway, go ahead.
So, basically, removing the tablets and those kind of things, and we'll have a lot of kind of discrete displays that just give you information when you need it, when you don't want it. Just goes away. So, and then on top of that, you'll have basically a companion in the car. We call it Yui.
And Yui.
Yui, Y-U-I. Think of it as, long and the short of it, as Japanese for kind of connected.
So I guess I could liken it for some to Siri if you own an Apple phone, but much more advanced.
Way more advanced, yeah. So when we sat down, we didn't want it to just be kind of your robot slave like Siri or these other ones where you just ask it where the nearest Starbucks is. This one would actually, you would ask it personal questions.
But
it becomes a companion, a friend.
What happens if I say, oh, hey, wait, you drove past it, pull a Yui, and then Yui goes, please don't touch me. It's my friend, right?
Well,
wow.
Someone's going to find the loophole here. So,
right.
So Yui, basically, when you get the vehicle, think of it as a first date. You meet it. Yes, its initial name is Yui, but you get to assign it a gender and even basically a name if you wanted to. You can call yours Betty.
Right, well, my Siri has got a British accent, so I imagine the same way. I mean, that's in, 2017? And by 2030, this is going to be really, it's going to be really artificial intelligence at some point, right?
It's funny to think where we were 10 years ago. I think today is the 10-year anniversary of Steve Jobs showing the iPhone, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, 10 years and a day ago, everybody was crazy impressed with themselves because they had phones that dialed phone numbers, right?
Right.
You had a razor and it flipped open. Now, look, 10 years later, we have this device in front of us that does so much.
Right.
We surrender so much personal data. Think what another 10 years is going to be like. So, yeah, artificial intelligence,
that's
an actual
scary
relationship with a vehicle.
Right.
That is a possibility, and that's kind of what we're basically looking at.
Well, it's and of course, go online, you guys, and just Google. It is called, once again,
the Toyota Concept I.
Yes, the Toyota Concept I. And you'll be able to see what it looks like and see this interesting interior. That is really you're leading the charge on the interior.
Correct.
And explain how it's like minimalist, really, because you can communicate with the car. So why have buttons and gadgets all over it?
When you look at it, there's only one discrete button per se you're gonna use. You get in the vehicle, it's all white and some gold pattern, and underneath on the center console, you'll see this like thing. We call it the hand. Just like so when you meet a friend, you reach your hand out, you shake their hand. To start the vehicle, you put your hand over it, and it actually reaches up and touches you. touches your hand,
God.
And you see its life force, then shoots up, and it goes up on the instrument panel like light, like a sparkle.
Right.
And the we call it the face of Yui. So her face wakes up, and you'll see like a moment of recognition, like the eyes.
Oh, this sounds so, you know, science fiction, you know.
All of the displays come to life, and you'll see that suddenly the car, yeah, it's there to be a companion.
Yeah, nice. Well, so what is in today's Toyotas that can... Perhaps we can say, hey, well, I kind of see that coming ahead, you know, or I should say evolving into the UE and the technology of the year 2030. Is there anything in there today? I mean, do you have like...
Well, UE offers a big component of safety, yeah. which basically keeps you awake. It will tap you on the shoulder. It will talk to you and ask you pertinent questions because it's basically improving your...
He actually touched me, by the way. Yeah,
increasing your cognitive load keeps you awake when you start to actually doze off. So yeah. besides the tap... on the seat. So there are actually...
Like haptic feedback.
Exactly, haptic
right?
feedback yeah. in the seat. So in today's cars, there are a number of safety devices that we have now.
Yeah.
The natural evolution of those are a lot of the features we're presenting in UE.
Wow, crazy stuff. All right, well, great talking to you, Bill Chergosky.
Yes.
Again, these are the folks that are designing our tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
Welcome back. I'm Alan Taylor. It is the Drive All Across America today in Detroit for the North American International Auto Show. Recently, I was at the LA Auto Show actually in November of 2016. So it was just a couple months ago. And I ran into a guy who had a product for the automobile called NAVD. And his name is Doug Simpson. He's the CEO of NAVD, NAVDY. And you can... find it and see more about it at navd.com. It's real simple. This is a product that I thought to myself, this could be cool. And I'm going to let Doug explain what it is because you'll do a much better job than I will. Then I'll tell you my experience because I got one since we've talked last, Doug.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks, Alan.
So what is this thing called a NAVD?
So NAVD is kind of like your phone in a jet fighter had a baby. We're
okay, right? It's true.
Yeah, that's true, right? So we're using augmented reality technology to project all the information you need as a transparent image over top of the road. So you'll never miss a turn again. And so you get your maps, your music, your calls, your messages, all projected directly in front of you. And the great thing, too, is when you receive a phone call, all you have to do is swipe your hand left to answer or swipe your hand right to dismiss. It's that easy. So we think of it as the world's first device that lets you look forward while staying connected.
So what I would call some of that stuff, of course, is head-up display. So
yes.
We've seen head-up display. But if your car, let's say you're driving something that is, you know, even an antique car or whatever, you could still use NAVD and have all that technology, the head-up display, and gesture controls, which was when you're swiping
right.
your hands, keeping your hands, you know, pretty much... on the wheel, not having to try and touch a button or, you know, do something. You're literally swiping it. No, I don't want it. Like, no, go away. I don't want it, right? Or, yes,
that's
I'll
it.
Take it, right? And I could see a picture of my wife's face, which I like, because if she calls me, it shows up on that little head-up display. But it still continues showing me where I'm going if I'm navigating or how fast I'm going or whatever I select. Now, what I like about it is that it used to be to get this type of technology, and you would spend $1,500 minimum, right? This product is what?
It's $799.
$799.
And, we even have 24-month financing with no interest, so it's only $33 a month that way.
So I take it home. I put it in my Viper, which there's about 8 or 10 inches from the top of the steering wheel to the roof. And so there's not much room to see, right? But I always tell my friends, you know, my Viper, it's a violent machine. And you really I don't want to be looking down. When I'm driving that car, I don't want to be looking down. So what happens is it's got this, the NAVD has a little flip-up piece of glass, which is where it is, the
the information is projected,
right?
Which it's absolutely, I don't even notice it's there at all. So it doesn't get in the way of this small windscreen area I get to look through. But what it does do is it gives me the ability to see how fast I'm going, or to see who's calling me, or to do that gesture control and swipe, no, I don't want the call, I'm driving my Viper, you know? What I also love about this product is it's all connected to my phone. So it's all intuitive. It's all plug and play, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I got to tell you, hats off to you guys. Easy interface, you know, as far as a video walked me through how to do it. And I remember thinking at first, I thought, oh, my God, it's so complicated. It's got a video. And then I thought, well, all right, I got to do it because I got it. And it was like wham, bam, and I was done. And so the way you set the whole thing up, you guys did a brilliant job.
Yeah, thanks so much.
I love it. I love it so much I don't like taking it in different vehicles, so I'm going to have to buy a couple of these. I can see this right now. Because it makes a vehicle that is potentially, you know, I mean, listen, the Viper ain't easy to drive. It's a handful. It's a right. Tiger. It's a dragon. Fire-breathing dragon. But it actually gives me the ability to continue using my technology, the things I need, the phone and things like that, my navigation, and the ability to use that gesture control in a vehicle that I normally would not use it, okay? I also like the fact that I can put it in an older vehicle and right. bring new technology, hands-free technology, in essence, and navigation, even in a classic vehicle. I have an old 79 Chevy pickup truck. I can put it in that if I want to.
Yep.
But I just really like it. I think it was thoughtfully designed. It's a nice unit. If you love technology, but you've got a little older car and you wish you had it, this is how you do it. What has been your feedback from your customers?
Yeah, so they just really love the experience, right? You're getting all the information you need from your car, your fuel level, your speed, your RPM.
What time it is, you know?
Plus all the stuff you want from your phone, and you know, you're not looking down at your dashboard, looking at your center console, looking at your phone, looking at the road, you know, you just look forward and it's all there, right? And then the gestures, you know, I mean, makes
which is
so kind of
cool. You got to admit, it's a cool thing. Gesture control is just cool. So Doug Simpson, he is a CEO. The product is Navdi, and you can find it at navdi.com. Doug, thanks for hanging with us, and congratulations on a great product.
Thanks again, Alan.
We'll take a little break. You're listening to The Drive. We'll be right back. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another hour of The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. This week, I'm in Detroit for the North American International Auto Show. Motor City, you know, it's kind of the big show, so we're going to talk to the big dogs like Gino Effler from J.D. Power & Associates. The question is, do you know what J.D. Power & Associates is all about? A lot of people think they do, but the reality is there's a lot of people that really don't. So I'll give you my take on it. Gino, you can help me. It's the voice of the customer. And when I say that, it's because I bought a new car. I got something in the mail that said, hey, how is your car doing? Basically, initial quality studies. So initial quality means that how was the quality of the car when you got it? Was it good? Was there all kinds of flaws with it? And you start filling that out, and then you send it back to J.D. Power, and your voice is heard through these awards and these studies that are done. Am I right?
Roughly? You're right on target, Alan. Good. It's J.D. Power is a global data and analytics company. We collect the data from consumers because you're right. We are the voice of the consumer. And that goes beyond automotive. It's everything in financial services, insurance, real estate, travel, all kinds of industries. But right. automotive is our bread and butter. That's where we started.
Right.
That was,
I mean,
our
you guys
focus.
Do everything, like even vacuum cleaners. I mean,
yes.
anything and everything.
All that.
Yeah.
So initial quality, for example, we want to measure people's satisfaction with their car in the first 90 days of ownership.
Okay.
Did the dealership teach them how all the bells and whistles,
right.
how all the gadgets work?
Right.
Or are they kind of having to figure that out by themselves?
Right.
So we measure all that. We measure the vehicle dependability study, which is the first 3 years of ownership.
Right.
How'd the car hold up?
Right.
We have one study coming out very soon, the Auto Avoider Study, which is a fascinating shopping study about what types of models you avoided or rejected during your shopping experience. Now, which is fascinating. So here, for example, we know in 2016, SUV sales skyrocketed.
Right.
Okay, they're a huge percentage.
Sedans are off and SUVs
right.
are
SUVs
up.
SUVs are
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
Now, interestingly, 3 out of every 4 new car shoppers didn't even shop SUVs.
How is
they
that?
Did,
then?
It's people who've had SUVs, and 1 in every 4 who are shopping at SUVs, and they're the ones who are buying the SUVs. They're the ones driving the incremental sales of SUVs. Hmm. So it was a fascinating discovery.
Maybe it was just everybody kind of said, you know, it's time to get a new car. Yeah. This one's 10 years old or whatever. And it just was a convergence of SUV buyers plus everybody else that has been driving a sedan or a small car and their family. You know, I mean, it was one of those oddball years. Because I keep wondering, why are sedans off when there's so many good ones? BMW just launched their new 5 Series. Beautiful.
Here's why. I still think we as a country in North America, and I'm speculating some yeah. anecdotal evidence
sure.
here, but we like bigger. Bigger is better in many of our minds.
Bigger in
right?
America. Right?
Well, you still have lower gas prices. That makes the SUVs
okay.
more affordable.
Right.
Great lease deals or low interest rates
right.
are still low on.
Right.
So, you know, now I can afford
yep.
this SUV, so yeah, I'm going to jump on it. Yep. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to stay in that family or in that model range.
I think you're right about gasoline because obviously I heard even on the news this morning, gasoline is this year much lower than last year and the year before that.
Right.
You know, it was lower than the year before that. And if the gas prices stay low, they're going to continue selling the crap out of it.
Absolutely.
Those things, right?
Now, another thing that we do a tech experience index. So we're asking people, okay, you have all this technology on your cars, a lot of new technology in cars in the last 5 years, 10 years.
These are like new studies, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're asking people about the various technologies. And believe it or not, close to 40% of new car buyers aren't fully aware of all the technology in their car.
Right.
And they don't know how to operate all of it.
In other words, they own the car and don't even
right.
realize. I'll give you an example. Like, a friend of mine owned an iPhone, didn't even know that it had what's called Hey Siri, where when your phone is plugged in, even an older one,
yes.
you can actually talk to your phone. It'll wake up and answer you and
yes.
do what you ask it. He had owned the phone for like 8 months and didn't even know it had that option.
Right.
Same with cars.
Right.
Imagine a complex car. People are having these cars, they're driving around, they don't even know some of the things they do. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, you
and
have.
You say 40% of people
almost
don't even
40% don't
wow.
know everything that
right.
their car has. There's
right.
something that they don't know about. Now, wow. what does that tell you? Okay, that tells you that it's not always the customer's issue.
Right.
When they're going through the buying process and the car delivery process, someone's not walking them through that process
yeah.
clear enough.
Right.
To say, here's how this works. Here's how this works. Here's, for the most part, they've completed the deal. They've
yeah.
done all the paperwork.
Right.
Now it's the I'm going to get my car. I'm ready to go.
Right.
Okay.
Excited.
Just show me how I link my phone. How I sync my phone.
These are the two. How do I start it? Because it doesn't take a key
That's
anymore.
That's right.
Right?
Sync my phone and find my either the satellite radio or yeah, or put in
exactly.
my favorite radio stations and send me on my way.
All right. Tell people where they can find J.D. Power and Associates.
You can find it at, very simply, jdpower.com.
Okay.
And there's all kinds of things, information there on cars. Every study that we do, you can read about it. And plenty of information at jdpower.com.
Fantastic.
Gino Effler, thanks for talking with us. And as you get these new studies, I'd love to hear about them. We'll talk about them on the radio.
Sounds great, Alan.
All right, we'll take a little break from Detroit. I'm Alan Taylor. You're listening to The Drive. On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance. Welcome back. I'm Alan Taylor. It is The Drive today at the North American International Auto Show in Detroit. Right now we're in BMW's booth and talking with Trudy Hardy, who's Vice President of Marketing. Trudy, the last time we were together was at the LA Auto Show, and you said something to me that was, I don't know, it was very enlightening. And we'll just for a moment touch on it, which had to do with how much people are consuming video content in massive amounts, and that is how, through your studies, that people are going to learn about your new cars. Talk just about that for a second.
Yeah, I think the landscape's changing so rapidly, and obviously with our cars being as technologically complicated as they are, you really need to find new ways to tell stories about your product. So I think through the digital landscape, also through the social media landscape, many of us are picking up news right through our social feeds, right where we're learning what our friends did last night.
Right, because when you're on Facebook and all of a sudden you go buy something and it's playing, you got to stop. It just sucks you in.
It does suck you in. And video content's been a very important part of our strategy. We were here last night broadcasting live, a live reveal.
On Facebook Live. Which is really, you know, I mean, when you say normally broadcasting live, it's television or something.
Yep.
But this is like consumer friendly.
It is. We have millions of viewers that follow us on BMW USA's channel on Facebook.
Wow.
So we promoted that we were going to reveal to them and give them a sneak peek of our all new 5 Series.
Makes them feel very included, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a really nice treat for our fans to be able to see it before it opened up to the press. So they saw the new 530i. They saw the new 530e. Our fourth iPerformance model in the lineup.
Electric,
and we debuted to them the M550, the fastest 5 Series that we have built to date.
Wow.
So it was a really special treat for our fans out there to get to see it before it opened up today.
How consumer friendly can you get, right? I mean, you're bringing them right on the inside. I mean, actually, it's before.
It's exactly
it's actually giving them something that you haven't even done for the journalist quite yet.
That's,
you know,
exactly,
because I'm
right.
Waiting today to see the car. Yeah, wow. Well, so what excites you about BMW as an employee of the company? But I mean, you seem to be fired up.
I mean, I love it. I've been with the company for 15 years. I love the passion. I love the enthusiasm. I also love the innovation. I always feel like we have that pioneering spirit and that goal to always be one step ahead, whether it's in our R&D, in our product development, or our marketing. So it's a huge challenge. It keeps you going, keeps you smiling every day.
Do you get a sense from the customers that you have that they love the brand, and that they give you feedback, and do you take that feedback? How does the interaction between corporate and consumer work? Do you ever have that?
Well, I mean, like I said last night, you could see it all on Facebook as we were live, and you watch the interaction, you watch the commentary,
you
watch the love buttons come
up.
And, you know, so we do through a lot of social media monitoring. You know, we get a lot of engagement with the fans. We do a lot of experiential marketing. So getting out on the road and getting people behind the wheel is the best way to win them over. So we do what we call our ultimate driving experience, where we go to major cities across the country.
Done there, been there.
Driving is believing, getting people in. So we really try to not just market to people, but to make sure that we're creating great experiences for them as well.
Well, thanks for sharing some of this insights with us, because at the end of the day, the consumers, I do believe they appreciate the insider's view that you are giving them even in front of showing your cars at the Detroit Auto Show. So thank you for us car enthusiasts.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Trudy Hardy. I'm Alan Taylor here in the BMW booth at the North American International Auto Show. We'll be right back. The Craftsman C3 19.2-volt 3-speed impact driver boasts three user-selectable speeds to help you get your project done right. The low-speed setting helps with projects that require precise control. Medium speed prevents overdriving, and the high speed will give you the power and speed to get the job done fast, delivering up to 3,500 impacts per minute and over 1,600 inch-pounds of torque. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears.com, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores. Welcome back. I'm Alan Taylor here in Detroit for the Detroit International Auto Show, walking through the halls, and I come across Linex. Now, I'm thinking, what's Linex doing here? Paul DeSmit is here. He's the Executive Vice President. What are you doing here, Paul?
Well, Alan, as you know, we're known for our 4 million truck beds that we sprayed over the last 20-plus years, and now we released a brand-new product for exterior coatings of vehicles, bumpers, rocker panels, that sort of thing. It's called Linex Ultra. It's the latest and greatest technology. It's cutting edge. It's like a bed liner, super tough, super elongation, all
but
that great stuff.
But you paint it on the outside of the vehicle.
Yes, sir. It makes that vehicle nearly indestructible, even though our marketing department doesn't like that very much. But
right.
Nearly indestructible. If you want a vehicle that you can run through the woods and not worry about it getting scratched, or you could hit it with a hammer, and yeah, you might dent it, but you won't damage the coating.
You know, and I've seen people do this before, but the coating is normally like, what, an eighth of an inch thick, so all of a sudden you can't open the doors, they're scraping, and how have you, you know, changed things to make it still be strong? And I guess the word ultra is in there, so ultra strong because it is Linex, but, you know, it seems like it's got to be thin.
Well, it is thinner than a spray and bed liner. It is strong, though, like a bed liner, and it is very tough, so unlike a paint, it, you know, you can hit it, you can bend it, you can do all kinds of things to it. It won't destroy itself. In fact, we performed side-by-side tests with paint, and if you look behind you, there's a little graph there that shows that probably about six times the performance of a paint or a powder coating.
Right.
And it, even then, it doesn't fail.
Well, yeah. I mean, this stuff is I had you guys do about, probably 5 years ago, a car trailer I have, which takes absolute horrible abuse. And I forgot the serial number of the vehicle. We needed to put a piece of tape on it and pull it off quickly so that you could read the serial number, and it was just gone, right?
Right.
Because the coating covered it up. And now, fortunately, I remembered roughly where it was, and I saw a little tiny bit of an indentation. I thought, well, it must be here. So I took a razor blade. I thought, I'll just razor blade this off.
Oh, good luck.
No, I broke the razor blade. Then I took, kind of a razor knife, thinking, okay, well, this is much more. No, broke that. Then I thought, well, all right, I'll get a chisel, and I'll just, you know, push against it. No. And then I got a hammer and hit it. No. And then I had to get a grinder and grind it, and it literally was like freaking steel.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
I ended up having to get a serial number assigned because I ground off the serial number trying to get through the Linex, right? It was a nightmare for me, but it proved my point to my friends that this stuff is crazy, right? And if you got a car trailer, you're going to drag chains across or any kind of thing in the bed of a truck. But now you have it to where you can paint on the whole vehicle, and you don't have it to where it's so thick that the door jams, because the tolerances used to be you could throw a cat through the door jam of a car when the doors were closed because the gaps were so big. And today they make them really tight, right?
Exactly.
And so you have to have this thinner material. What is this, maybe half as thick as a normal bed liner?
That's probably about one-fourth the thickness of a bed liner.
It's, wow.
It's about 20 mils for those at millimeters thick. Or I guess that's the right way. But
one
about,
couple of silly millimeters.
Yeah. I'm probably been saying that's mils, 1,000ths of an inch is what that is. About 21,000ths of an inch is a correct statement. But yeah, it follows every contour of the vehicle. All the lines are nice and sharp. It's 100% UV stable, so it's going to look the same color 5 years from now as it does today.
Wow.
I have it on my personal farm truck we talked about earlier, yeah. And I got some orange Ram stripes on that truck, and they look as beautiful as the day they sprayed them about 4 years ago.
Right. So this is like all the newest, latest space age technology because, you know, over the years gone by, the colors would fade and they weren't, you know, as resilient. And the product was thick, and you really wouldn't maybe spray it on a whole truck. And as time goes on, you keep on refining, more science. And now here you have this. And I remember seeing Willie Robertson from Duck Dynasty.
Yes, sir, I met Willie.
Right, a couple years ago, and I interviewed him. And I guess you just came out with something like this or this.
In fact, it is a cousin to this product that we did on Willie's vehicle as one of the prototype vehicles.
Right, so this
actually
is the next generation of that.
Yes,
right?
Sir. We've advanced it further, and we're constantly pushing the envelope on new coating technology.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, that was cool, no question about it. My boys were with me who are what they call, we're wheelers. You know, they go off-road and four-wheeling. And, man, that is one thing they do is go into the brush and scratch their trucks to death. And so I could just see that, you know, my one son got a 2001 Toyota, TRD off-road package, and he's the lights and all the tchotchkes he's got on it, but the clear coat is peeling off. So to me, he's got to paint that whole truck.
Yes,
that's going to be a couple of grand minimum, right?
Yes, sir.
So this is, for him, probably a way better option than putting a pretty paint job on something he's going to go right back out into the brush and go hunting with.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did with my truck. Was a turned into an old farm truck, had a lot of scratches, dings, and dents on it, and we pulled those all out, and we made it into a brand new truck.
Well, the most impressive thing, I think, is the video that's sitting right next to us. I walked by here, and I saw this. They have a beer can, and they show a truck driving over it, and it just, of course, flattens out. The beer squirts out. They coat it with this Linex product and then drive right over it. Nothing happens. They coat a watermelon, drop it from, I don't know, how many feet?
150 feet.
A watermelon from 150, and it bounces. This stuff is absolutely, it goes beyond. It actually kind of almost defies physics, you know? I mean, really, it's bizarre, right? So all I can say is this is good stuff, and I'm going to talk to you guys about doing one of my vehicles because I own Patrick Swayze's Range Rover.
Oh,
and
wow.
Before he died, I bought it from him. And, you know, the paint, again, the clear coat's peeling off. And this, for an off-road vehicle, this is absolutely perfect. Or horse trailers or, working on hot rods. I mean, this is amazing stuff. Linex, you can check them out at, of course, linex.com, line-x.com. And their truck gear at truckgear.com. Paul, thank you for talking with us.
Appreciate it, Alan.
So you never know who you're going to see at the Detroit International Auto Show. All kinds of great products here, along with that autonomous stuff. We'll be right back for more.
The Dodge brothers weren't big on self-restraint, and thank goodness for that. Because when you're always pushing the limits, you engineer cars like the available 370-horsepower Dodge Charger with a TorqueFlite 8-speed automatic transmission. It's why Dodge is the only brand that grows as fast as it drives. One drive and you'll discover why Dodge is America's fastest-growing performance brand. Data is calculated using the latest available year-over-year retail vehicle registrations. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Welcome back. It is The Drive today at the Detroit International Auto Show. I'm Alan Taylor. Joining us right now from Continental is Ralph Lauksman. He is the Senior Vice President, System and Technology for Chassis and Safety at Continental. And I just missed your press conference, Ralph. You know, people are so interested in this driverless cars and automated driving and all this stuff, and it seems like a major focus, even at the Consumer Electronics Show. I imagine your press conference had something to do with this stuff, right?
Yes, of course. Alan, you missed an impressive press conference with a good message and also good music.
Please share, please, right?
So what we announced is that we go in a cooperation with Nexteer, one of the leaders in steering systems.
And that's called Nexteer.
Nexteer,
okay.
Yes, that's right. We go in that cooperation. Because what we are good in is we do automated driving. We do the sensing, the prediction. We can brake, we can accelerate the car, but we cannot do steering today.
Mm.
Steering is, the task of the driver, which he is doing all the time. Yeah.
Right.
In today's automotive systems and assisted systems, we are able to hand over those steering tasks only a short time to the driver.
Right.
Then he has to take it back.
Right.
We do the deceleration, we do the acceleration, we can follow the cars, we can do cruising control, all that stuff. But the steering is the more high sophisticated
right.
part.
Yeah? Well, you know what's weird? I was watching on TV today and they were showing, and everybody seems to be showing this, you know, the car driving itself, right? That's the new autonomous car, drives itself. And you're sitting there, and I don't know, I would almost feel kind of like weird with the steering wheel moving back and forth. What if I touch it and I'm not supposed to, you know? So, I mean, it seems like that's part of this equation here, is they figured out somehow to have the car steer but have the steering wheel not be involved with that. Is that right?
Yeah, you exactly nailed it down. Yeah, that's the point. If you are in the car and the steering wheel...
Because that's the part that geeks me out, man. So if you guys have fixed that, I think I'm in. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, we can fix that with the corporation. We can fix that because NexTier is able to offer a steer-by-wire system. This means a decoupling from the steering wheel and what the tires are really doing. Yeah?
Right.
And so you can sit in the car. You have no movement of the steering wheel if you want it. And you can sit relaxed and nothing is bouncing around or turning around. And you have a freedom to act, to use your laptop or to text or whatever. Yeah?
Because if the car is steering itself, why do I need to be involved at all, I guess? Like you said, if I'm going to be working, I don't want to have to worry about, oh, no, I hit the steering wheel and crashed. It really should be disconnected.
The only thing what we must make sure is that when you put your hands on the steering wheel and you want to take over the responsibility for the steering, then you get it back immediately.
So how does that happen?
Yeah, there are some buttons or whatever. There are some procedures to hand over the responsibility back to the driver. Yeah?
Right.
Or in an emergency case, we will have some lamps, sounds like in an airplane. Yeah, take over steering wheel again or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, sure. And then you put your hands on the steering wheel and take it.
If you watch Sully, the movie of I met Sully recently. That's what happens. The just like you said, it's aerospace industry stuff that's been going on for years.
Of course,
and,
and we learn from that.
Right,
we learn how to hand over, how to do the procedures, how to do the sign-offs, do the reliability things, the redundancy things, the fail operational. That's all stuff which is already tested in the aerospace and in the space technology.
Right. So this is all very interesting. I cannot wait to get behind the wheel of whatever you guys and NexTier do with this new 50-50 joint venture. And, of course, Continental, already a technology leader, working with everybody from Volvo, who we all know is the safety leader. When it comes to saying the name Volvo, you automatically think safety, and you guys are working with them for forever. So glad to see you have now added one more brick to your, you know, to your, I guess, the foundation of what you guys do makes it stronger.
Everything around autonomous driving and assisted driving and all the safety stuff that we do. Yeah, we add the brick, as you said.
Yep.
Thanks
very
for giving me the chance to talk to you.
Ralph, thank you very much. Again, Ralph is chassis and safety at Continental. And it's fun to watch this unfold. And there's nothing to be afraid of because you've been riding in airlines for years, and this is all aerospace technology. It's trickling down into the car. And with Continental behind it, I think we have to say that we have less to worry about. All right, I'm Alan Taylor. It is The Drive at the Detroit International Auto Show. We'll be right back. Let's say you want to make a DIY repair on your vehicle. Where do you go? Where do you turn for advice? Alan Taylor here. If you're considering free online repair advice, you might want to consider the source. Instead of putting your vehicle at risk, rely on accurate, complete guidance from start to finish with the experts at Haynes. Every Haynes manual is based on a complete teardown and rebuild of the vehicle. They learn the best ways to do the job and make it easier and cheaper for you. Available at most auto part retailers or at Haynes.com. Welcome back. It is The Drive today at the Detroit International Auto Show. I'm Alan Taylor, lunatic fringe automotive enthusiast, and everybody knows that. I happen to be in the company of two very, very crazy, car crazy men. One to my, let's see, I have to go right and left, don't I?
That's your left.
Okay. One to my left is Dan. And use that right in front of your face. So one to my left is Dan Sandberg. He's the president and CEO of Brembo Brakes North America. And we have also Ludwig Willisch. He is the president, CEO, and head of the Americas for BMW. Now, what's cool about this, everybody, is I shouldn't be in this room because I'm just a crazy car crazy guy. But what I found out is that these guys are also car crazy guys. I've witnessed Ludwig at racetracks driving, and he has that same expression that we all have, mostly with little bugs in his teeth from going fast around the racetrack in old race cars, having fun, smiling all the way. And then I find out that Dan Sandberg happens to be the same kind of guy, and he is, I mean, one of these guys that you've heard on the show a lot of times, but you guys, I wanted to introduce you to each other because it's kind of a club. And since you folks work together, you should know each other. So, Dan, first of all, BMW, meet Ludwig Willisch.
Well, thank you, Alan. It's always a pleasure. And obviously, meeting someone from a great company like BMW is fantastic. I mean, you know about my BMW, the 96 convertible, right? So still have that car. It's celebrated its 20-year birthday. We had a big cake, and it was great. So that car is original. One modification, of course, we put the Brembo brakes on it. So, but it's a great convertible, and it's one of my favorite cars.
So, BMW owner, of course. And then, Ludwig, Dan, all I can say is that he's such an enthusiast. I find him at racetracks and races, even unrelated to his business. He's one of those kind of guys that the three of us would go to a race or to an event together and all look at the same cars and have that smile and that twinkle in the eye, no matter, you know, who makes the most money. I don't know. I think it might be me. But that's because I work for myself. I'm an entrepreneur. Anyway. Did you see the look he just gave me? I don't think I make more than you. Anyway. So you guys, here we are in Detroit. You just showed three new 5 Series sedans. It was three different variations of the new 5 Series, right?
Yeah.
Talk about it.
Well, it's a brand new, all new 5 Series, 7th generation now. One of the very typical BMWs that we started with in 1972. And many people think the 3 Series actually started the nomenclature of 3, 5, 7, and so forth. No, it was the 5 Series that started it all.
Really?
Yes. And it's a nice story behind that. When Max Hoffman was the importer of BMW 50s, 60s, and early 70s, BMW came up with a four-door sedan in the late 60s that they called 2500, 2800, and 3.0. And Maxi said, oh, that's way too complicated for the Americans. They just know 289 and 302.
Right.
What's the 2800? They think the engine is going to be huge.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know, he said, we just call it Bavaria. And that's what we did.
Ah.
We called the car in the United States Bavaria full stop. But because that was the only part that Americans would know, would love. So we ran out of other names, so we had to come up with something else. So some smart guy in the marketing department said, well, we should call them 3, 5s, and 7s and so forth. And that's how this whole thing was born, because we were desperate. We just had this Bavaria, which was so totally out of line as far as our nomenclature is concerned. Now, what do we do with this? And so then we started with a worldwide setup of, say, taking single-digit numbers and say, this is the 7 Series, this is the 5 Series, 3 Series. And then today we have everything from 1 to 8.
I imagine in the next few years we'll be up to the BMW 10 Series, right?
Not quite, but we had 3 5 Series going back to that. We had 3 5 Series on display here. The 530i, the 540i, and the 530E, which is an active hybrid, means it has the best of two worlds. It has an electric motor and an internal combustion engine, and is available first time with that complicated drivetrain in all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive technology, too. And later, there will be a M550i, and that's not the M5 yet, but it already accelerates from 0 to 60 in less than 4 seconds.
Oh, my gosh. And a big sedan, right?
So it's not about braking. It's about acceleration.
Yeah, no, well, and then you have braking horsepower, right, Dan?
We're not worried. If as long as you get it going as fast as you want, we'll know the brakes. You're going to need those. We know that.
Well, see, let me ask this then. With all these different variants of powertrains and things available, what are people opting in for these days? I mean, BMW, the ultimate driving machine, but you're also the ultimate technology machine these days.
Well, not really only these days. People always expect from us to be front at the front of technology development and be really high-tech. Even if you went back 20 or 30 years, we made a survey and asked people, do you know what all these devices mean in your car? What actually you can do with it? And people actually knew only about a third or something like that. So they didn't know the majority of the stuff they had in the car. They didn't know anything about it. When we asked them, should we take it out? No. We desperately need it. So it's really something people expect from a BMW to be high-tech. It's no question about it. Yeah. Leading-edge high-tech.
Right. It's interesting. I was talking to J.D. Power & Associates just a little while ago, and they now have a new J.D. Power & Associates study to find out how much people don't know about the cars they own. Mm-hmm. And they're finding that they don't know about 40% of the things that their cars have in them. The technologies or how to use them. They don't even aware that they even have these certain things.
Yeah.
So people own cars and buy cars and don't ever use some of the technology that's built in by companies like BMW.
That's why we came up what we call BMW Encore, which what it really is a second delivery after a week, two or three of ownership. We asked the customer to come back.
Oh,
and
smart.
You know, whatever he hadn't understood or what he where he had questions with, we would explain that. And we have geniuses that have all the time in the world to explain these things to customers.
That is so awesome. I didn't know anybody was doing that. I literally said, you need to have them come back after a month, after the initial fun factor wore off, and now they're driving it every day, and say, all right, what don't you know? Dan, have a question.
Well, you know, to me, when I look at BMWs, I've had a 5 Series. I have my 3, obviously. To me, there is no other car that I can think of that you really have to drive to really understand. You were talking about they don't understand what they have and they don't have. I think if you drove a BMW for any length of time and then drove another car, you'd realize what you had. I mean, without actually knowing it by its technical name and, you know, what's going on, the suspension or the brakes or the handling. I don't think anything really handles like a BMW. Where do you consider a comparable car? I know we're talking about BMW today, but what comparably drives like a BMW?
Well,
I'm not aware of any.
Sometimes we find out that other manufacturers say, well, now we're very close to, or we are at BMW level, but then we say, sorry, but this was the last generation. And the thing is, till this very day, our engineers try out the suspension as a human being, as an engineer. So it's not really set up by a computer or whatever, your technical device. It's the end. It's the backside of that engineer that says, now it's a BMW, and before it wasn't.
Right.
So the final tweaks are done by engineers that decide themselves personally, subjectively, what should be done about the suspension setup. It's not anything else. It's a BMW engineer that obviously has done, I don't know how many thousand laps on the Nürburgring or at some other of our racetracks, and then says, no, we need a slightly different damper setup, or we need stiffer springs, or whatever.
Website for BMW for folks to be able to take a look at the new 5 Series you've shown. Is it just BMW USA or?
.com.
.com, okay. Ludwig, last question for you. What do you love most about your job as the president and CEO of BMW?
Alan, you know that.
I love this guy. All right, that's good enough. Thank you, Ludwig Willisch. There you go, people. Now you know the president and CEO of BMW North America. I think that's great. Dan Sandberg, thanks. And let's go do some more interviews with some other great car companies here at the Detroit Auto Show.
First, I'm going to do my test drive on that.
Okay, exactly. We'll be right back. If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time, all while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Welcome back. I'm Alan Taylor. It is The Drive, our show brought to you in part by Bridgestone. They're passionate about making tires you can count on to perform when it matters most. Bridgestone Tires. So I'm sitting inside of a Ford van at the Detroit International Auto Show with Gordon Plato. He is the head design guy from Ford for the F-Series trucks. I was recently out in the desert, the Enzo Borrego Desert, driving the new Raptor, 100 miles an hour, got airborne 7 times. Amazing. I mean, there is no other vehicle right now made, I don't think, that is right off the showroom floor you can take out and jump into the air and do wild things with. And Ford has done such a good job with the Raptor. Gordon, that machine is impressive. And so many people are, you know, are talking about, you know, the aluminum, the fact that the bodies are made out of aluminum, a lot of aluminum anyway. It's military-grade aluminum. Your competitors are kind of making some commercials that are kind of trying to slam it a little bit. And my guess is in a few years they'll be using the same product. You know, it's kind of funny how that works. But it's a good-looking truck. I mean, talk about the process of designing a truck and staying relative in today's marketplace. It can't be easy. I mean, you know, right?
It's not easy. We make it look easy.
Well, there you go.
But honestly, it all starts with the customer. And before we even put pen to paper, we'll go out and do some market research, both quantitatively and qualitatively, understand really what the customer wants, interpret that, and then we'll actually put pen to paper. Not anymore. Now we use computer tablets and so forth. But we'll sketch concepts. Eventually, we'll pick some of those concepts, and we'll create from the 2D images, we'll create wireframes that we can turn into 3D dimensional properties that we can actually mill out in full-size clay.
Wow. So all done inside the computer, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. But it still doesn't take place of actually, eventually it's got to get out into a 3D property.
Right.
We still use full-size clay models, which we can walk around and touch and color and really get a sense for what the customer is going to see on the showroom floor.
So congratulations. I understand it's like 40 years of the number one best-selling truck in America, right?
Right.
Ford.
Right.
F-Series trucks.
Yeah, no, it's honestly, I love going into work every day. I love working on trucks, regardless of whether you're in design at Ford Motor Company or in engineering or manufacturing. We're all passionate about trucks, and we love to deliver what the customer is looking for. So,
well, talking about that, what the customer is looking for. Now, trucks are not like cars. When you can't, you know, change the shapes radically, you're kind of stuck with a certain shape.
I mean, architecture.
Architecture.
Right.
There you go.
Yep.
And so I can't imagine that it's an easy job to redesign a vehicle like a pickup truck. And even now with Honda with their truck, right? And Mercedes is going to come out with a truck.
Right.
So, you're stuck with that architecture. But what I guess you have to do is drive your customers to delight with little things then. You know, and big things, right? Like a 10-speed automatic transmission and what is it, 6 different modes of, you know, of gravel and on-road, off-road, all these different things that
right.
it does.
So diesel motors in this case, we're offering for the first time on F-150 a diesel motor, which is one of the big stories for the O18.
Which is a big thing, right?
Huge.
And now you have a 3-liter V6 diesel. Do you know anything about this as far as fuel economy, or have they announced any of that yet? Because, you know, that's the big thing. Towing capability, big fuel economy. I know it's a brand new announcement. If you don't know, I fully understand things that you're the design guy.
I am the styling guy.
There you go.
So
okay.
I can't speak to that.
News
as well
forthcoming
as the...
then. There you go.
Yes. What I can tell you, though, is we've got an all new engine lineup, except for our entry level 3.5. All the new motors are, or the improved motors, improve horsepower and fuel economy.
Yep.
All the motors are actually coupled with a new 10-speed transmission.
Yep.
Except for our entry level, which is the 3.5.
Right.
Which still has the 6-speed. But everyone other than the entry, including our diesel, will have a coupling of the V10, which is a contributor to good fuel economy as well as performance.
So you have the full range of engines and amazing towing capabilities. now offering the 10-speed transmission that was built and designed jointly with General Motors. Very interesting story there, I'm sure, because that's never easy for two giants like that to work together. But Ford Motor Company doing a great job, and I've owned a number of Fords throughout my lifetime, and I've loved every one of them, Ford pickups. And here we have Gordy. You say they call you Gordy?
Gordo,
the head of design for the Ford F-Series trucks. Again, congratulations on 40 years of the number one best-selling truck in America.
Thank you very much.
All right, well, that's about it for my 2 hours at the Detroit Auto Show, everybody. Thank you for listening. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll see you next time right here on The Drive. Hey, it's Alan Taylor. Are you looking for an opportunity to buy a franchise, one that you can really wrap your arms around? Crunch Fitness is really a great opportunity for you. Now, here's a fitness company that's about 10 bucks a month to join. So even if you just want to join, it's a great deal. You want to check it out because I have been personally watching this company grow like crazy. Visit them online at crunchfranchise.com and be in business for yourself, but not by yourself, and have fun doing it.